This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello everyone, welcome to another podcast session by the HISA team. Today we are going to be discussing Markets Monday. Basically what happens during Markets Monday is we come in and we have a bit of a discussion of what's happening across various financial markets, and also just looking on how the market has opened during today's session, that is on Monday, how the week is likely to progress even as markets move within the trading week. Joining me as usual is Davis. I'd probably give him a moment to say a few opening remarks before we proceed.
Good morning everyone, glad to be here with you this morning, and I'm hoping that we have a good and interactive session.
Thank you, David. Just starting to think of it, maybe we need to start from the basics. And starting from the basics, we'd start from what has happened directly this morning. Equity Bank's results were a bit impressive, but then the bank hasn't declared a dividend. Equity Group has not declared a dividend. This is the second year when Equity Bank is not paying dividends to shareholders. I think in my personal opinion, all banks that had released the results today, Equity Bank is one that was really unexpected. The nil dividend declaration was unexpected. What's your take, and maybe if you just share with us a little bit of Equity Group's results?
Just looking at the results here, so 32% of their loan book was restructured, and in light of the COVID pandemic and the efforts by the central bank advising banks or telling banks to remove their fees, they forewent transaction fees worth 1.2 billion, so they lost that in possible revenue. They raised 100 million in tier 2 capital, and their liquidity levels went up significantly from 52 to 59%, and that was actually in line with not giving out the dividend. So the main reason actually you'd see for them not giving out a dividend is because of liquidity. They want to have a huge buffer for these current shocks. So now when we look at their financials, their net interest income is up 23.5%. Their profit before tax and exceptional items is down 33%. Their profit after tax is down 12%, of course, because of the tax credit that companies received last year, hence they paid less taxes. Their loan loss provisions are up 5 times. They're up a whopping 496%. Of course, this was similar to all other banks. And as we mentioned, 32% of their loan book was restructured and no dividends were declared, which was, of course, unfortunate. I expect the bank to actually, since many were expecting a dividend, these announcements will actually make the share price dip.
Actually, Davis, I'm just checking through the HISA app right now. And I'm seeing Equity Bank has actually dropped about 7.3% in trading price.
Yeah, that's significant.
And if you're wondering, Equity Bank was trading on Friday, closed at 41 shillings, and now it's trading at prices of 38 shillings. I think investors are technically quote-unquote mad at Equity Group for not declaring a dividend. Last year, Equity Group had declared a dividend of 2 shillings and 50 cents, and then they recalled that dividend. They did not pay that dividend. And we're seeing other banks. We're seeing banks that are usually looked as direct competition for Equity Bank, like KCB and Stanchart, paying dividends. And you're probably wondering, is Equity Group going the route that Diamond Trust Bank and Absa have picked not to pay dividend? That was a big question that a lot of us had on Friday, and seems like that has come out to be a reality, something that we're really hoping that, I'm personally hoping that the bank would probably come in and surprise us with an interim dividend. I know something that they will, but guys have always looked at Mwangi as a tough guy, and his call for nil dividend declaration, I think that's something that was really, really unexpected. So we're seeing investors already heavily reacting to Equity Bank. We're seeing the supply on the market, though the volume is pretty low today. we're seeing Equity has only traded at 7.3%, but it's only traded about 2,600 shares on the market. So that's something that's
negligible. It's barely anything.
Yeah, mostly it's those investors who sold on the market immediately market opened. The market is about 23 minutes into trading right now, so it will be interesting just to see how the bank trades within the day and also within the week. But also we are seeing the bids slightly high on the bank. The bids are standing at about 2.4 million, with a bulk of the bids, trading at a lower price of less than even 32 shillings. The supply, however, is on the high end. We are seeing supply about 684,000, but there is heavy supply at, we are seeing supply continuing to come in at around 38. Between 38 and 41, there's a little bit of a heavy supply. But also you need to know something is, whenever there's a corporate action like a financial results, why you're probably wondering why we have bids as low as 32 is the NSE lifts what we call the ceiling and the floor of a stock, which is usually capped at 10%. So it's given the free will where the stock can be able to generally say accommodate the level of shock that investors are likely to probably pick up with the stock. So we'll be able to just see, Davis, how Equity Bank is going to perform, right?
Yeah, it's a downtrend for the short term, to be honest, because the bank is still strong. It's the first one to hit 1 trillion in
balance sheet.
It's doing quite a significant quite a significant expansion program. A lot of it is digitized. I know 97% of transactions were done outside of the conventional banks,
which is very interesting. It was the first time, actually, I heard Mwangi say the first time that the online system have actually brought in more than 50% of the revenues for the bank.
That's quite significant. So you see their digitization strategy is actually working. And so this is just short-term price action. People are overreacting to this news. And in fact, if you're a long-term buyer, you would buy more.
Actually, at 38, I would pick Equity. But once again, guys, remember this is not an investment advice. You need to do your due diligence before you make that recommendation. Yeah. Davis, thinking just maybe before we move into the next bit, what really stood out for you in Equity Bank's the financials? Something that really, really stood out for me, it was the online channels, how active they've picked up. And it's in reality, we are seeing the digitalization that Mwangi has been speaking about over time is actually picking up speed. The acquisitions, the one that they did last year, they said they were looking a lot on organic growth in some of their areas, in some of the countries where they're present in, like Kenya, Uganda, and the only place where they really took a major acquisition was in DRC, where Equity Bank came from the fourth largest bank to the second largest bank through the acquisition of BCDC. But maybe you can just share something. What really stood out, apart from the assets growing up, just if you'd mention something?
Well, of course, the no dividend stood out a bit significantly. But yeah, also similar to you, 98% of the transactions occurring outside branch was really good. In fact, mobile and internet banking took up 85% of transactions. You're seeing the effects of COVID. A lot of things have moved online. It's amazing to see how companies are able to quickly adapt. And it's likely that these adaptations will continue going forward, you know, in the new space that we're going into. FinTech is, of course, front and center in all this growth prospects, which is really good to see. And I know that Equity will really focus on those channels. That's pretty much it. The drawback the share price retraction for now, that's just a temporary thing. If you're a long-term investor, you know that there will be good earnings as we continue forward. Of course, we're yet to see the effects of the country being locked down again. But I think banks, especially Equity and the like, are adequately provisioned for these new effects, even though right now there's no incentives by the government that have been issued yet. But actually, on that note, there could be, you know, good news going forward. The MPC is supposed to meet today, actually.
Yeah, today.
And to give states the interest rate and the like. What are your insights on that one?
Well, I think it will be very interesting to see how the MPC, but I think likely they would really hold. There's nothing really major that they would do. My honest thoughts is that they're going to maintain the current status quo.
What I don't think reduce.
I don't think that Njoroge is in a position to reduce. The guys from CBK, once again, remember that we are your friends, but if you guys would reduce it, that would be it would be good to some extent, but also bad. It would be good to the borrowers, but to some extent also bad to the banks as well.
Yeah.
Also considering that banks like Equity Bank have really invested heavily in government securities, so yeah. in the long term. To some extent, mostly for the forthcoming government securities that would be issued, would be very challenging. And then there's one thing that someone once mentioned: it's very easy to lower probably lower our rates, like the CBR rates. It's very easy to lower them, but raising them back up to probably. You're seeing what's happening with the treasury yields in the US.
Yeah.
Just a little bit going up by about 1 basis point and guys are really panicking. Guys are complaining, yeah. Guys are panicking. So even for us, we can bring it to 5%, but taking it back up to 7%, I know that would be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're optimistic. Let's see what would happen. Though yeah. My calls is likely we are likely to have a status quo remain the same.
Yeah, that's true. I actually expect the same. For those who may not understand, so the central bank sets rates, and banks themselves are governed by these rates. Like, so for example, if the central bank increases interest rates, this will mean that banks will increase the rate at which people can get loans. So you're getting a loan at 12%, now you're getting it at 15%. If the central bank lowers rates, this means that banks can issue out loans at lower interest rates, making it easy for borrowers. So when rates are increased, that's when the economy is overheated, let's say inflation is going up and they need to cool things down. That's why they raise rates. If they need the economy to pick up, they need the economy to boost in light of tough economic conditions and the like, they would reduce rates. And that's what has happened for a while. I think for the past 6 meetings, they've maintained the rates at around 7%, and that's likely to continue forward.
Yeah, but let's see. Let's see just what will happen. Davis, we've really had a lengthy discussion on Equity Bank, and yeah. Maybe we can proceed to the next bit. We're talking about NCBA. And just in case you're wondering, let me just start off by saying we started off with Equity Bank and said that Equity Bank did not declare dividend. NCBA has declared a dividend, Davis.
Yes, quite a significant one.
I think that comes in as a surprise, and I really hope that they don't recall it. They don't recall the dividend,
yeah.
Like we saw Equity Bank do for the 2019 financial year. Maybe, Davis, you'd just shed light on that before I mention something on NCBA.
Yeah, so maybe I can touch on the results a bit. So net interest income was up 91% to 25.5 billion. The customer deposits went up by 62%. Loan loss provisions, of course, similar to all banks, went up more than 200% to 20.4 billion. And the profit after tax was down 41%. So actually the profit after tax, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the largest drops. In fact, earnings per share must have dropped from roughly 7 shillings to around 2. And they're still declaring a dividend, which is, I find that to be quite interesting. I wonder if they'll recall. In fact, I would expect possibly them and Stancha to recall their dividends, to be honest.
Davis, I'd really request you pull that thought a bit. You can pull brakes on that a bit, because right now, at the level we're in, we really hope that no bank, at least the ones that have declared a dividend, don't come back recalling their dividends. I'm hoping KCB will still stand in, Cooperative Bank will still stand in, and at least keep the banking sector shining when it comes to dividend payment. And, you know, for those of you who are wondering why dividends are very important, a dividend is one way that retail shareholders usually see it as you care about your shareholders' pockets. It's more like when you make profit, you don't really stop. You don't tell people that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do X and Y. But really what you do is you're telling guys that with a dividend coming in through, you can be able to share with them the profits, regardless of the margin that you really made, even if the margin was small. So investors are usually really optimistic with a company that's paying dividends, and that's probably why you're seeing companies like Safaricom really rally on the share price anytime they declare a dividend.
Yeah, but
Safcom picked up from about 36 all the way to 40 just by declaring a special dividend the other day. To about 39, though it's come down a bit, but I think that's one thing that investors are really looking into. But maybe Davis, if you just share, you've said NCBA, the EPS has declined a bit. If you're telling it to the normal guy who's never been in investment banking, what's really an earnings per share and why is it important?
So earnings per share actually show, okay, you're a shareholder in a company. Essentially, when you invest in a company, you're making a claim to the earnings of that company. Okay, so when a company declares earnings, those earnings belong to the shareholders. You who have bought your 100 shares, etc., you have a claim to those earnings, and so the total earnings are divided by the total amount of outstanding shares. They can be diluted or non-diluted. Let's not delve into that, but that's essentially earnings per share. And then, so when a company releases these earnings, there are two ways that these earnings reach the shareholders or unlock shareholder value. One way, as Felix has stated, is that the company can issue out dividends. Okay, and so those dividends, it's almost, you know, it's kind of like interest income. It's some form of passive income in a sense. Alternatively, the company can take these earnings and reinvest them back into the business, and they'll be classified as retained earnings for that business. Now, those retained earnings are unlocked as the share price increases in line with future earnings growth. So I'll give you a good example. That's Berkshire Hathaway. They don't issue dividends. What happens is that they reinvest the money back into the business, and the business, the share price has been growing tremendously to the extent that it's grown by millions. Percentage wise, you know, if you're holding it in the 70s, maybe you're holding $1,000 worth of Berkshire Hathaway right now, it would be worth something in the millions. And this is because they've reinvested those earnings back into their businesses, and shareholder value has been unlocked through share price increment. So those are the two ways that companies can unlock shareholder value, either through reinvesting and then the share price goes up, or issuing out dividends. So they tend to have adverse reactions depending on what the company announces and says. So a dividend drought can really affect a company's share price in the short term, but in the long term, if the company is still stable, things will continue on well, I believe.
All right. So Davis, with NCBA, just to look onto it before maybe we move into it, just watching on the market, looking once again through the HISA app, is I'm seeing NCBA trading is marginal. We're seeing about 49,300 shares traded, but the price has gained marginally, just about 0.8% in today's trading. We're seeing on the demand side, we're seeing a total supply of about 8,800, demand coming in hot at 35,600. Some of this demand, a bulk of the demand is at 23 shillings, and supply is 3,800 at 25 and at 26.05. What's your move? Do you think NCBA is likely going to continue a rally? Because I'm seeing it's unlike the usuals where you find investors would react positively by putting in a lot of gains, because usually you'd find that if a company would declare a price at 23 shillings, because last week NCBA was trading at 23.10.
Yeah.
So usually you'd expect that the price would move up to maybe about 24, just to factor in the dividend. Because now, you know, the sellers are looking at it from trading at the counter with a premium pegged to it, which is the dividend. But I'm just trying to look onto it, and I'm seeing there's no activity despite the volume coming in high. But we're looking in a little bit on sort of like a stagnant price growth. What's your take? Do you think we're likely to see the positive surge on NCBA?
Well, that one you'll have to wait and see, to be honest. Because, okay, in my mind, I'm thinking the dividend yield is roughly 6%. It's okay. It's not that significant. Of course, with inflation at roughly 5%, that means that your real returns are 1%. Possibly, I've been seeing a lot of selling pressure on NCBA. It's like the company is not, people are not that hopeful in that particular regard. And ironically, or I'm viewing it this way, I'm glad that people are not chasing dividend returns. What I mean is, if the share price, or if you enter a position into a company based on, they've announced a dividend, okay, the dividend is roughly 9%, whatever. So you've entered your position, you've gotten that, you know, book closure, you've gotten in at that, you've locked in that dividend. Sindio, you have the right to get a dividend.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes book closure, that means that the registry is closed and you cannot get dividends past that date.
Stock is likely to come even lower.
Yeah, the stock will go even lower. And then now, remember, our NSE transaction costs. You must make at least, you make, you know, 2%.
You need to make at least 5% on the NSE before you break even.
Yeah. So you're imagining the losses from book closure, the losses from these transaction costs. You may have made nothing. In fact, it may have been it may have not been the most productive endeavor that you could have done by chasing dividends. Whether the company will recover in the long term, that was still yet to see, and hoping that they do, because they had a lot of issues with the transitioning, with the merger, you know, the synergies were really off, but hopefully the company will recover in the long term. Yeah, but short term, yeah, I'm saddened that people are not that excited, but it may also be a good thing that people are not chasing dividend returns in that way.
All right, something very interesting, Davis, living on the financials a bit now. Maybe we'd want to touch on one thing that has really been the talk of the week, of the weekend. East African Breweries Limited. We've seen a lot of drama surrounding EABL and one of the listed companies that we are waiting to officially introduce their shares for trading. That's Homeboyz. We are seeing that, just to mention, Homeboyz was listed on the NSE, but is yet to begin trading. And we're seeing today there is a statement by UNFPA that is stating that it does not, first of all, they've indicated that they don't have any direct affiliation in relation to Homeboyz Radio,
yeah.
Right? But then we're seeing that Homeboyz, they're actually looking at Homeboyz Entertainment PLC, which they've mentioned adversely on their report. And just in case you're probably wondering, the company that is Homeboyz Radio and Homeboyz Entertainment PLC are actually two different firms. So anytime you look at Homeboyz as a company, don't look at it as a radio station that has had a little bit of things going throughout the weekend. But Davis, maybe you'd want to mention on EABL. I'm seeing, just to mention on Open,
yeah.
EABL has already dropped about 1%, which is something small for EABL shareholders to drop at a price which it was trading at last week. EABL had closed the last trading week at 167, and now it's trading at 166. We're seeing the volume still not really much to speak. EABL has only traded 900 shares on the market. Demand is at 160, a bulk of the demand. We're seeing total demand is at 43,100 and supply at 35,800. What's your take? Do you think we're likely, starting on with the lockdown measures that were recently put in place, are we likely to see EABL bring in another decline in profit in the next financial year?
It's an interesting question. So, honestly, the lockdown measures have been quite harsh, to be honest. Viewing restaurants and the like, and the fact that people are not allowed to go in, and restaurants have to do takeaway only, it will adversely affect EABL, but we must realize that it's only in 5 counties. It's not, it doesn't touch the Tanzanian market, the Ugandan one. It's only in these 5 particular counties. And so while the bulk of EABL's revenue does come from its Kenya unit, I would say that the effects of this particular lockdown will be negligible. Actually, with the way the president stated everything, it seems that the lockdown may not go for a very extended period of time, like the one last year. So I was amazed by EABL's resilience. A lot of their services moved online. There was a lot of, you know, people still Buying alcohol, of course. Kenyans will always drink, but yeah.
But then, Davis, talking about Tanzania, and I know Tanzania and COVID, it's been a little bit of a challenge for most investors. But with Tanzania not initially accepting the scientific evidence that relates with COVID-19, 2 days ago there was a report that there's a new COVID variant, the strain. Yeah. That is actually from Tanzania, and they're saying it's the most mutated variant yet to be found, discovered. I think that Tanzania is going to take stiffer measures towards COVID now that Magufuli is not in place. But also just, we've seen, even with the new government, we've seen most of those regulations are still on the loose. But I'm just concerned with the new variant coming in Tanzania. Don't you think that we're likely to see a market that's likely to be hit? Though we've not really had a lot from Uganda in with regards to COVID in the recent days. And we're also seeing Rwanda really moving in well with the vaccination, mostly for frontline workers. But don't you think that is going to affect Tanzania? And once Tanzania is hit, and in case there's any government regulation in Tanzania, that's something that's going to affect EABL, both directly and indirectly.
Yeah.
Because just in 2019, sorry to cut you short, but in 2019, towards the end of 2019, we saw EABL increase their stake in Serengeti Breweries Limited.
Yeah.
Which is another company in Tanzania which has been actually bringing in quite some good revenue for EABL. So with all that information, give us that data.
Well, that's interesting. If you looked at the posture of the Tanzanian government, even during the late Magufuli's funeral, it seems like the status quo was continuing, as much as they're stating that new variants have come in and vastly mutated one of the COVID virus, we're yet to see what this new administration would do or will do. But it seems that they may continue with Magufuli's
ideologies,
if you will. If they change, honestly, EABL will be affected quite significantly. Yes, they're a resilient company, but like the Tanzanian market was what was holding them up, holding them as a buffer. I was actually quite surprised with their financials that they didn't drop that significantly. They've maintained good profit margins and everything, and people are factoring that in as much as COVID had hit. So going forward, if the Tanzanian market actually decides to shut down, though I view it as unlikely, it will affect EABL quite negatively. If they continue as is, and the Kenyan market, of course, reduces these restrictions over time, as honestly, I don't view that they'll stay for such a long period of time. The company will recover. And so I think the share price actually has been increasing in light of that information and in light of that view. They know that these effects are short-term, and a fully-fledged recovery would likely be actually next year. You know, after all this is done, after the vaccine has continued walking through the economy well and the like.
After the vaccine has probably expanded its wings across the economy.
Yeah.
But we really hope that we'd have a plan in the long run just for the entire government and also for the economy, so that we don't really have a total economic collapse or another, or sort of like a recession, so to put it, for the government and for the companies. It would be so bad, that would be something that would really hit the economy, but we hope it doesn't get to that level.
Yeah. Oh, I had a question. You said that the entity that's been listed, was that the entity that company, UN something?
UNFPA.
UNFPA. That's the company that said that it's terminating contracts going forward, like they won't continue with them. Or is that the other entity that's not being listed?
No. Okay, so what really happens is that, because Homeboys Entertainment PLC is different from Homeboys Radio. So I think UNFPA actually hit it. They hit the discussion by saying that they would not be sort of like having engagements with Homeboys Radio. But then also I think there might have also been, because what Homeboys actually stated is they sold a bit of their stake. Initially Homeboys Radio was owned by Homeboys Entertainment PLC.
Yeah.
Then they sold a bit of their stake to Radio Africa Group.
Yeah.
And so they didn't list the radio.
Yeah.
What they listed was the entertainment company, of which the radio is more like a subsidiary. So I think UNFPA has sort of like cancelled their affiliation with Homeboys Radio. But we've also seen that happen with East African Breweries Limited as well, with EABL cancelling their affiliation with Homeboys Radio. Yeah. Though I think maybe for now that is something just to look at it for short term for now. Maybe my thoughts would really be on what would happen if Homeboys Radio was to be listed, was to start trading. The Homeboys Entertainment PLC would start trading. I don't know, but honestly speaking, my personal opinion once again is I think that share price is going to come lower than the 4.66 shillings where they listed in. I'm looking at Homeboys, unless there's something really, unless something really changes. I'm looking at HBE trading at prices of maybe around 1 shilling.
Penny stock.
Unless something really happens. Also the volatility that the company, man, you just listed and you've already given us a profit warning.
And
though we've seen that with a lot of the companies which are listing on which have listed on the NSE, mostly in the gem segment in the recent years. But I really hope the NSE is going to give us a true gem, not these gems, that these rocks that have been found out here. They're calling them gems, man. Yeah, you can't have a gem segment. You're calling it a gem, and then you're coming in here and giving us rocks. I honestly feel that's one thing. But anyway, guys, once again, that's a personal opinion. That doesn't necessarily mean that all companies listed in the gem segment are rocks. Some of them are actually gems, and we're really hoping for the long-term outlook for most of these companies. Also, remember to always do your in-depth research. Research before you can be able to purchase any of these stocks or any counters, regardless of the recommendation, either by the investment bank or an analyst or here on this show. Always do your in-depth analysis before you can be able to make that investment decision. So Davis, we've been here for long. One thing that we'd mention is last week we saw the ship at the Suez Canal.
Yeah.
Has it been moved, Davis?
Yes, it's finally been moved. It's been refloated.
Has it been refloated and it's still there?
It's been refloated and sort of moved. I think it's been removed. Yes, it should have been. Yeah. So Evergreen, stuck for 6 days, has been freed by the Egyptian crew, and it has been refloated into the Suez Canal. So that's a really good thing, because honestly, they're blocking hundreds of ships. Pricing was actually going up on shipping routes, on oil, on a lot of different things. So it's a good thing to see.
It's been partially refloated, so I don't think it's not the whole ship.
For real?
Yeah, because I'm just seeing this right now, and they're claiming it's been partially refloated. They're trying to probably tag it back online, into line. So I'm really hoping that the company, the Swiss team, the Egyptian team, they'll be able to give us a way out.
Yeah, and finally the memes can end.
We're seeing a lot of guys talking about seeing a lot of guys really talking about the impact. The financial impact is what I was really worried about, and it's really bringing a lot of discussions back to mainstream concerns on just how important this canal has been. Yet even when we're looking at even the costs of maintenance, it's one of the lowest things that Egypt is actually always looking at. But the revenue that's actually coming in through that is something that would be interesting. We're really hoping that this is something that we will continue to probably have a look at. So that's one thing I'm hoping to see. But it's been partially refloated. And that's one thing that we're hoping, at least probably by end of tomorrow, we're hoping to see this ship off the Suez, and business would resume.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would also be good, man. I see it's brought a lot of activity back to some of the ports. We're really hoping, because we're seeing a lot of activity were going through South Africa. And with that, there could be more activity to ports like countries like Kenya, Mozambique, Tanzania, of course, South Africa, all the way up to Nigeria. And we're hoping to have a little bit of high economic influence on the entire continent. So I don't know, Davis, maybe one thing just to mention, to have a look on markets, which companies have probably given guys a little bit of gainers and losers today. On the gainers list, if you're probably wondering where we're getting this data, you can be able to get it on Hisa app. If you download the Hisa app, you'll be able to also follow up this podcast later as well, and even follow various discussions as we talk about markets and also the economy. On the gainers list today, we are seeing Nairobi Business Ventures gain about 8% in price activity. NBV is now trading at about 4 shillings and 45 cents. Who knew that NBV would, Nairobi Business Ventures would hold up at 4 shillings? Something interesting, because last year NBV was really, really down. There's a time NBV traded at 0.81.
What?
Then after that company came in, the cement company, the investor came in, company traded back at 5. And guys actually thought it would go down, but here we are, it's standing still at 4 shillings and above. And also looking at it, we're seeing Samia Africa that has gained about 4 shillings, had gained about 4%, trading at 3 shillings and 80 cents. And
this is like not penny stocks, but this is below 5 shillings.
I think these penny stocks are trading. I'd really call them penny stocks. I think they have a lot of volatility pegged to them, because immediately after Samir, we are seeing our own local GameStop, that is Home Africa.
We're seeing Home Africa. Listed, right?
I think Home Africa is technically our GME here in Kenya. Wow. We're seeing Home Africa trading at 2.7%. That's at 0.38. And other penny stocks like Eveready and Flametree following in closely.
It's so interesting. One day we should research why people buy these things. I think, you know, the logic in your mind is, it's very cheap. I can just enter and exit. You know, this company can file for bankruptcy tomorrow and all your money is gone.
I think maybe one of these days, Davis, we could have an in-depth discussion on Home Africa as a company. Or NBV or Samia or Eveready or Flametree. Yeah. These small priced companies, we could probably have a look and just see how these companies are performing. Yeah. It would be interesting. And then on the loser side now, we're seeing the big league companies trade on the loser side, where we're seeing Equity Bank has now lost about 9.7%.
And there's no cap today at 10%. This thing can go down 20.
There's no cap for Equity Bank today. But we're seeing investors trying to maintain the margin. But let's see if investors will be able to maintain, because Equity is now trading at 37 shillings, sorry. That's 9.7%. Then following closely is Williamson T, which has also shed about 8.4%, trading now at 135. Unexpectedly, the way Equity Bank and KCB are always trading, I would call it the equity effect has hit on KCB. We're seeing KCB now trading at 5% lower at 39 shillings.
Yeah.
And then EABL, looks like the weekend frenzy has touched on EABL. Just as we were discussing, EABL was down 1%. Now it's down 4.6% to trade at 160 shillings per share.
Yeah.
Liberty Group is the last on that list with 2.4%.
Okay. It's really interesting. People are really going for these penny stocks, and then, you know, solid, like blue chips, solid. They just leave. But if you're a smart investor, if you're a long-term investor, you know that the fundamentals of a lot of these businesses haven't changed. You know that the long-term prospects haven't changed. Don't speculate. Invest in these things. When the stock market is going down, it makes the stock cheaper for you to buy. Of course, we're not advising you to buy or sell a particular company. That's at your own discretion, and we do not accept liability for the decisions that you make in buying or selling particular shares. But mm-hmm. we'd advise you that as you see particular share prices dipping and you know the long-term prospects of these companies are good, accumulate, buy more.
Basically, you know, guys, whatever we're talking about in investing is the best bit about investing. It's always the fundamental law of investing on the securities market is buy low, sell high.
Yeah, but people follow buy high, sell
people
low.
People follow buy high, sell low. Most of the retail investors. But the fundamental aspect of investing, it's always about you buying low and selling higher. So an example is Equity Bank at low prices would be a good company to invest in for the long term.
And imagine also Absa. Like, imagine how Absa is dropping and then they declare a dividend a year from now. Imagine.
Yeah. The rally that will be there would be something else. So that's one thing. I'm really hoping that investors would be able to. Most retail investors, if you're investing long term, I don't see a reason why you won't be in a position to buy Equity or KCB. But guys are buying Nairobi Business Ventures. I'm not saying NBV is a bad company, but we still don't have the fundamentals right with NBV. Mostly right now with a new company and the business operations being directed to cement industry. I think we need to have those fundamentals right. And Home Africa, guys, why are you buying Home Africa? I'm interested in that. I'm really interested in why you guys are buying Home Africa.
One day we should actually find an analyst who's bullish on Home Africa. Yeah. I wonder if they exist.
Come on, we need someone. Davis, are you bullish on Home Africa?
Never.
I'm not saying Home Africa is a bad company, guys. And once again, this is not an investment advice. But looking on Hisa app, I'm seeing Home Africa has gained about 2.7%.
You know, if you bought Home Africa when it listed, you'd have been down like
99%. 99%. But come on, Davis. We've said Home Africa might be our own GameStop. If Home Africa
might
would
being the keyword.
might being the keyword. If Home Africa would, because you know, like GME's main business is. GameStop used to sell games, the game consoles to individuals, and everything has gone online. Yet GME is still doing the same business model that they operated close to 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Home Africa,
well, actually, you know, GME is switching a lot of things. They're
online.
In fact,
they are.
There's a lot of changes coming in.
I feel like. Maybe Home Africa is AMC, not GME, because we're seeing AMC still, and even AMC still operates some of these theaters. But okay, we are going to find Home Africa something else. But also, once again, remember, we are not hitting on Home Africa. We're just saying it as it is. The fundamentals of the company are dead. That is my opinion. And that is not an investment advice, but the fundamentals of Africa are dead. So I guess that's it for us today. If you have any comment, if you want to say something about Home Africa, if you're actually bullish on Home Africa and you want to be live with us, please let us know and we will be able to invite you to this show so that you can be able to shed some light just on why you're bullish on Home Africa.
Yeah.
So that's it for us today. Thank you all for joining us on today's podcast session. And always remember, if you download the Hisa app on your phone, you can be able to follow markets live as they happen. As trades move in, you can always be able to just follow live on the market as markets move in. And you can also be able to just listen to podcasts like this one and a lot more. Also follow, a lot of discussions are happening on the Hisa app. Please let us know your thoughts, and also you can just catch us live there. So that's it for today's session. Thank you all and have a lovely week. It's a very sunny morning here in Nairobi, but we'll be glad to see you again on Monday next week. Thank you and bye-bye.